pick up where we left off last week. Does anybody need a book? Take it personally book. Let's see if we can cover a little bit more. Shane needs one. Brother Jerry, Gary. Anybody else need one besides Shane? Yes, sir. Brother Serge needs one. Anybody else? Serge and Shane. And I got a chance to share some of this today with somebody, and it really just thrilled my soul. So we'll look at that a little bit. In your book, we left off on page 7. So if you got your books open, open them to 7. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead. We won't be in this long just because of the time, but I appreciate your patience. Thank you, Pastor White, for holding down the fort. But I thought it very necessary to be there with Carlene in the fearful state that she was. Didn't want to leave too soon, but at the same time, knowing that you guys were here waiting for me. I know Pastor White could have well taken over, and I was picking with him. I said, you better get your sermon ready. I may have to go back to my father-in-law. Amen. So I appreciate Pastor White being ready. Take your Bibles, turn them over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read those verses again. Stand with me if you would. Good to have Katie back with us again. She's coming around, amen. And Brother Fred, I know, was down as well. He's back up. Serge was down. He's back up. So praise God. Pray for the Reyeses now to get back up and others. Perkins are back up. That's good. There is something going around, and we don't like it. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read down verses 10 on down. Oh, my soul, another piece of my page tore up, amen. Okay. Yeah, it's bad when every time you touch it, a piece falls off. Amen. It's so close to the book of Philippians. Philippians went first, and it's close to Ephesians. So Ephesians is now gone as well. So now I've got a page of Ephesians here that I can kind of carry around with me. Amen. Because Philippians went and it's attached to Ephesians. Amen. It got me two brand new Bibles. I just got to use them. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's read down to verse number 13. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And notice down in verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's what we're talking about here in this taking it personally. I want to make sure that we can stand having our feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, I got a chance to talk to someone today, and I was ready, ready, ready. Amen. I got a chance to share the gospel with him. Then somebody else popped up, and I wasn't ready. You know how that feels, amen. But I still got to share the gospel with him because it dawned on me, hey, I need to share something with you. Father, bless now in our message. Lord, I pray that we might learn a little bit more in these areas, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us. Have your hands of mercy upon them. It's Carlene, the Taylor family, as well as the Bryant family, Lord. They still need to be saved. And so I pray that you would save them, Lord, as well, for it's everlasting too late. Help them to understand the brevity of life and the need to trust Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Well, you may be seated. The Bible says that, you know, you and I, as we are standing for the Lord, and as you see here, be able to stand, be able to withstand, having done all to stand therefore, a part of this armor is having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, being prepared to witness. And that's what this book is designed to do. It's designed to give you all the tools you need to take this gospel personally and then give the gospel to someone else. Amen. And let me share with you, first of all, the one that I wasn't expecting to witness to today. I was on my walk. How many of y'all remember me talking about a guy named Albert that was staying out there at the trailer park with the other family? What's their family's name out there? Halifax family. They were staying out there with the Halifax family. And as I was walking, this bicycle pulls up alongside me and says, hey, Gregory. And it's Albert again. Again, I'm walking on the side of the street. And Albert pulls up by the side of me. Hey, how you doing? Now, this guy's from out of town. He's only here from, he's a snowbird. But he remembered my name and everything. And he came back and he said, hey, how you doing? What's been going on? Blah, blah. Made some small talk with me. And I said, Albert, when are you going to come out to my church and visit me? He said, well, you know how I feel about that. And I don't know. And blah, blah, blah. I said, more importantly, I said, have you done anything with the gospel? Well, no, I haven't done anything with it yet. I said, now, you know, God loves you and you know you need to be saved. And you know the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was for you, right? He said, yeah, I know, preacher. I said, Albert, you just need to get saved. Now, I wasn't expecting that. I'm on my walk. But guess what? When the opportunity came, the Holy Spirit said, hey, look, get him again. You never know. He might get saved. On the side of the road, yes. The Dutchman that came because somebody got saved on the side of the road. Amen. And so I wasn't expecting him, and I was out there, and then he just stopped. Now, imagine that. Somebody is going to stop knowing you're going to give him the gospel. That's of God, because he knows what I'm going to say. You know people like that, that when they come, they know what you're going to say already? And don't they some kind of avoid you because they know what you're going to say? It's a blessing when people come knowing what you're going to say. I believe God is really working on this man's heart. I mean, to pull up next to a stranger walking down the street and say, how you doing? And he knows what I'm going to say. That's of God. That's of God. And so I was ready. I wasn't ready for that one. I didn't have my feet shod. Amen. I didn't expect to see him, although I was praying that God would bring him my way. Now, to show you how ye of little faith. Amen. I'm praying that God would bring him. But then when he showed up, I thought, oh, God, you bought him. I guess I better do something. Amen. And so it was a blessing to get a chance to witness to him. Now, did we fill in this blank, these parts last time when we were here? We didn't fill it in. Okay. Let me give you some things to fill in here. Page 7, sharing the gospel is the first blank there. Sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. And then A is going to be the same thing, understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel. Then the next page, number one, avoid the extremes. Avoid the extremes. Then number two, have a plan. Have a plan. Have a plan. I had a plan today when I had my other visit. Have a plan. All right. And then B, giving a clear presentation. One of the things that you want to make sure is that when the person leaves you, they have a clear presentation of what the gospel actually is. Giving a clear presentation. Then number one, understand that God loves you. God loves you. Number two, realize your condition. Realize your condition. Then at the bottom, notice God's price for sin. God's price for sin. All right. Number four, believe Christ died for you. Believe Christ died for you. Number five, confess your faith in Christ. And by the way, this is given as a sample, so you don't have to use this exactly, but it's making some points for you. Then C, leading to a decision. Leading to a decision. Then all the way over on page 14, D, preparing to share the gospel. Preparing to share the gospel. Everybody got all those? All right. Now, we won't get to all of those tonight. But I did want to give those to you for your purposes. All right. Okay, so let's go back to the first one. Anybody need to hear any of those over again? Okay. So let's start back there on page 7, presenting the gospel. Sharing the gospel, I should say. Sharing the gospel. By the way, last time that I talked to you, we talked about making sure that you know what the gospel is. And when you talk about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's got to be clearly spelled out. Go to 1 Corinthians real quick and notice what the Bible says the gospel is. Because the gospel is easier and simpler than most people think it is. 1 Corinthians 15, and notice the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the, what's that word? The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received. No, wait a minute. Preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And here's the gospel, how that Christ died for who? Our sins, according to the scripture. By the way, when you use a verse like that and you're witnessing to someone, make sure you let them know that you're a sinner too. Don't get a holier than thou where you're a sinner. You know, of course they know they're a sinner oftentimes. Amen. But let them know, you know, Christ died for our sins. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. Christ died for our sins. Notice this. According to the scriptures. And that he was what? Buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let them know this is Bible. Amen. So when you talk about sharing the gospel, that is the gospel. Understanding the gospel is the first blank that you got there. Understanding the gospel. You and I have got to make sure that we know what the gospel is. It's easy. It's simple. And it's in a nutshell. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. His death for us. His burial for us. His resurrection for us. Amen. And it's really as simple as that. Amen. And so when you're looking at this aspect of it, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we want to make sure that you and I can stand. Now, it talks about avoiding the extremes down there. I go on to page number eight, avoiding the extremes. Some people like to make it so hard. Well, you need to know the names of God, Jehovah. You need to know Elohim. You need to know Jehovah Sitkanu. You need to know Jehovah Shalom. Do you know all of that? No. Well, you can't be saved until you know all that, Brother Duffy. You've got to know all that first. No, they don't need to know all that. I mean, did y'all know all that when you got saved? You know what I knew when I got saved? I was a sinner. And you know what else I knew when I got saved? I didn't want to go to hell. And you know what else I knew? Jesus died for me. He was buried. He rose again. That's what I knew. And I put my faith and my trust in that. I didn't find out afterwards until all the stuff that I really didn't know. I didn't know all the names of God afterwards. I thought he got more than one name than God and Jesus and Lord. I thought that was it. Hey, Kenny, I don't know about you. North Carolina. Jesus, Lord, God. That's all I knew. You know, they started telling me all this Jehovah this and Jehovah that. And I thought, who, what, where, how, why, what? Yeah, Jehovah's Witness, I heard of them. Amen. That's about all I heard of. Amen. So avoiding the extreme. Some people complicate the message and they make it where the person's got to do something. By the way, did you know that not everybody cries when they get saved? How many of y'all cried when you got saved? The rest of y'all didn't cry when you got saved? I cried like a baby. So that must mean y'all are not really saved because y'all didn't cry. A person doesn't have to cry to get saved. I don't read in there where it said the Philippian jailer cried. It said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, now shall be saved. I didn't read where the Ethiopian eunuch cried. I don't read where Paul cried. So it's not about the emotionalism that I see. Because a lot of people say, well, if you didn't cry, if you didn't feel this, and if you didn't do this, and you didn't do that. I was dealing with a guy today, and I was leading him to Christ, and he got to the point where he prayed, and after he prayed, I said, well, how do you feel? Do you feel any different? He said, well, I felt this tingly feeling all over me. I felt, you know, don't trust in your feelings. I'm glad you felt that way, amen. But you can't trust in that. You got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when you're thinking about these extremes, some people may demonstrate something, others don't. They simply need to understand that Jesus died, rose for their sins, and they turn in faith to him. Amen. And so when you're looking at extremes, there is the extreme of making it difficult, but then you got the extreme of easy believism. Brother Serge, I'm sure, was abreast of that with the Jack Howes ministry up there in Illinois. It's the Hoover vacuum salesman. It gets you to just say yes, 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 yes. Are you lost? Yes. Are you wicked? Yes. Are you want to go to heaven? Yes. You want to pray this prayer? Yes. Then pray this prayer. Yes. Then you're saved. Yes. Then you don't see any change in the person. Is that person really saved? They might be. They might not be. But wait a minute. It's, you know, you can overcomplicate the gospel, but then you can make it too simple. And some people just make it a yes, 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 yes. They kind of back you into a corner. It's almost like what Groucho Marx said, have you stopped beating your wife yet? If you say yes, that means you were beating your wife. If you say no, that means you're still beating your wife. That's one of those trick questions. You know, you can't wait a minute. You know, y'all looking at me. Y'all don't know that joke? And Fred, I know that joke. Shane's like never heard that one before. Amen. He said, have you stopped beating your wife yet? If you say yes, and that means you were a wife beater. If you say no, that means you're still beating her. Amen. So that's a bad question. And that's how it is for them oftentimes. They want to kind of sucker you into that thing. Amen. Notice that verse that they put down there, Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, what? Repentance where? Towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, does the average person know what repentance is? The average person does not know what repentance is. And so it is up to you and I to let them know what repentance is. Because a verse like that is a classic verse. Paul said, you know, I talk to the Jews. I talk to the Greeks. I taught repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Before a person can be saved, they must fully understand they're sinners, they're in need of a Savior, and they need to turn to Christ because they cannot save themselves. And the guy I was talking to today, I said, do you understand that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? He said, yes. I said, so you understand that you're a sinner? He said, yes. I said, do you understand that there's a penalty attached to that? I said, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I said, now we get paid money for doing our job. I said, would you get paid for being a sinner? What I get paid for being a sinner is death. I said, now knowing that you're a sinner and knowing that you're on your way to hell, I said, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I said, that's pretty good, isn't it? He said, yeah, pretty good. I said, now, but before you can get that gift, I said, you got to recognize that you're going away from God and you need to be coming to God. I said, that's what we call repentance. You're going this way. You need to turn around with your heart, your mind, and your soul. You turn to God knowing that you can't save yourself. You've got to believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died for you, and he was buried for you, and he rose again. I said, let me ask you this question. I said, are you sure you understand what I just said? And the individual was going through some difficult times as well. I said, let me stop and halt you right here. I said, you're going through some difficult times right now. I said, you getting saved is not going to stop your difficult times. I said, I don't want you to think that you calling on Jesus is going to stop your difficult times. I said, because Jesus is not some bailout. I said, you're getting saved from your sin and you're getting saved from hell. I said, you may still be in the condition that you're in right now. Getting saved is not going to change where you're at right now. I said, but it will change where you're going to go hereafter. I said, so I want you to call on the Lord thinking that he's going to save you. And I said, I don't want you to pray to me thinking I'm going to save you. I said, because I can't save you. I'm a sinner. I said, so repentance is you turning from your own way, turning to God's way and asking God to save you. Now, the individual bowed his head and prayed. I prayed that he got saved. Amen. I don't know. I'll go back and check up on him and find out. Amen. So repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. A person repents when they realize they're a sinner deserving God's righteous judgment and their own works can't save them. By the way, the Bible says this, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy, he saved us. Amen. And also Ephesians, they didn't give you Ephesians down there, did they? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And so repentance is a word that if you use that word, make sure you explain that word. And so you've got to avoid the extremes. We can't make it too easy and we can't make it too hard either. Now, notice the next one. Have a plan. Say, preacher, what plan should we have? By the way, what plan do you think you should have? Was that God's plan? Yes. But what plan is that? Romans roll. You got to have some scriptural verses. Again, remember I told you last time? The Holy Spirit is going to work on the Word of God. If they have no Word of God, the Holy Spirit can't have nothing to work on. So we've got to have a plan. We've got to have some memorized scriptures in our hearts, even if it's just John 3:16. By the way, I've led people to Christ with just John 3:16. I've led people to Christ with just 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13. So you don't need a whole litany of scriptures memorized, but you do have to have something that the Holy Spirit can use. By the way, when you give the gospel out, I gave the gospel to the guy today. And I said, Lord, now you've got to do what you do. I said, because I can only give him the gospel. I cannot save him. And what was I doing? I was relying on the Holy Spirit to take the word that I gave him and bring conviction. By the way, Albert, the guy that I talked to earlier today, why do you think that every time he comes around, I'm so persistent with him? Because somebody was persistent with me. They kept after me. They kept after me. They kept after me. And the last time before we went to church, the guy said, when y'all going to come to church? And that's when my wife said, we going to come Sunday. We'll be there on Sunday. And I said, no, we ain't. You might be going, but I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to stay in that bed. I'm not going to church. And guess what? That was the very time that I went and the time that I got saved 26 years ago. Amen. And so we've got to be persistent with these folks. Amen. Have a plan. We've got to learn and memorize some verses. Amen. The Bible says having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got to be prepared to share. Amen. Learn, memorize verses. Be prepared to share with the lost people in any setting. By the way, you should be able to share Christ in your workplace, with your family members, in the community, on the basketball court. If you're going to the community center, in any setting, you should be able to take that setting and turn it into a presentation of the gospel. When Albert stopped by there, he was telling me about this family out there at the trailer park, and he gave me their name, and he said they've got this little, these kids they adopted, and they sing, and they're going to be singing tonight. They're going to be singing gospel songs. And when he said gospel songs, what do you think I said? Ping! Speaking of gospel songs, when are you going to believe the gospel? I just took that thing and turned it right around. I mean, he was just making small talk at first with me until he said gospel. And I said, there's my door. I said, speaking of gospel songs, I said, Albert, when are you going to receive the gospel? When are you going to believe the gospel? I said, you know God loves you. He just kind of looked, I know, preacher, I know. So you're always looking for those opportunities, amen, because we should be able to present the gospel and having our feet shod at any given time. And by the way, when you get verses memorized, and I'm sure Brother Serge can attest to this, Pastor White can, and anybody else that's done any kind of soul winning work, sometimes God gives you other verses that you have memorized. Amen. You might have the Romans road down pat, but then the Holy Spirit says, no, they need this verse. No, they need this verse. They need all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, they need over here. But God commended love towards them while we as soon as Christ died for us. Oh, and now you need to throw in John 3:16 over here. Oh, and all, now you need to throw in here. Though your sins be as crimson, they should be white as snow. And now you need to throw. And so the Holy Spirit will kind of throw you all around with different verses if you have them to use. And so you and I have to make sure that we memorize scriptures so that the Holy Spirit has something to utilize whilst we're witnessing. And so he gives several things here. At B, he says, have a clear presentation. Have a clear presentation. If you're ready to give the gospel, then there's a basic format that he's going to give here. And there's this is just a sample of what he's giving. He's giving you some things to say in the whole nine yards. The first thing he says is give a clear presentation, understanding that God loves you. Now, not everybody needs that first off. Can you get an amen? Not everybody needs that first off. Some folks just need to know that, hey, look, judgment is coming, son. It's coming fast. And so you would start with a different verse. But one of the things that he starts with is a clear presentation. God loves you. And by the way, does God love everybody? And John 3:16 is a shoo-in for that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. And so when you understand that God loves you, I don't know about you, but I'd like to know that I'm loved. Amen. And so that is a good, good starting point. He does this. He gives some lead-in questions here. He says, I like to go from small talk to a spiritual dialogue. He said, depending upon the context of the situation, I may ask, has anyone shown you, number one, from the Bible, how you can know without a doubt you're on your way to heaven? Another question, he says, or if you were to die today, do you know if you would go to heaven or hell? Another thing he says, or do you know where you're going when you die? He says, if they're not sure, he'll say, will you allow me a few moments to talk to you? Now, the way I got into the dialogue today with the individual, he was telling me all these things. He said, well, I'm reading the Bible and I'm trying to help others and I'm doing this and I can't understand the Bible, but I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever been born again? And he paused. He said, no. I said, well, friend, I said, you can't do anything until you've been born again. I said, like, a baby can't walk until the baby's been born again. You've got to be born again first. I said, all the things you're doing are great. I said, but they're not going to get you to heaven. I said, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I said, you must be born again. And he just gave me that look. But I did this and did that. And I said, that's great. I said, but that's not the way to heaven. I said, your first step to get to heaven is to be born again. And I said, can I share with you what the Bible says about being born again? And he said, sure. He said, well, my mom told me this and this and this and this. I said, but she never told you how to be born again? He said, no. I said, well, that's what you need first. And so I gave a clear presentation. I let him know that God loved him right off the bat. And I began going down through there after I asked him, have you ever been born again? That's one of those questions that kind of gets you in there. And by the way, if you do ask that question, remain sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because somebody may say yes at first, and then their attention may go away. And you've got to be sensitive enough to know, do I back up and go away from it right now? And maybe come back another way or come back at a different angle? Or do I just quit now, let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do and come back at another day? Because if they're not interested at that point and you persist, they can end up making a false profession. Say, how will you know? The Holy Spirit will have to give you an unction to say, hey, look, are they still interested? Body language, do they look interested? Have they lost interest? Are they looking over your shoulder? Are they looking at their watch? Are they looking at the clock? Are they looking at this? Are they fidgeting? There's telltale signs. Those don't always work. Some people can feel, they can act like they're focusing and they're into it. Their emotions are in it. But the spirit and the soul is really not in it. And that's what you and I have to be careful of. Now, again, at the end of the day, it's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is just to present a clear presentation of the gospel with a plan that we have. God loves you. And we're going to have to start with that one. And we'll pick up next week with that. But again, one of the things I want to encourage you with this week is start trying to memorize the Romans Road if you don't have it memorized already. I've got some with me that I can give you when we get done here that have the Romans Road on it already. You can put it in your Bible. But you want to memorize those Roman Roads steps and have that to memory so that as you start witnessing someone in any setting, in any situation, you can turn that situation spiritual by just a couple of words or a couple of phrases. Listen to what they're saying. Like he said, hey, they're having gospel songs. And I said, gospel songs? Hey. Here we go. I got some gospel, too. Ain't a song either. Amen. But it'll save your soul. Amen. So let's continue to work at this, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, being ready to witness to folks. Amen. Pray for this man that I witnessed to today that he'll get saved, that Albert guy. And then the other guy that prayed the prayer today, he's got some issues that he's going through right now. But I'm just going to trust the Lord to work in his heart. And hopefully God has smote him and he hopefully got saved. Amen. I don't know his heart, but God does. Amen. And it's amazing. I told Pastor White and the deacons last week, I prayed that God would put me in situations where I had to witness. It was impossible for me to get away from it. And two people today, this Albert guy and this other one, then last week, the Dutchman. And I pray specifically, Lord, bring some people and make it impossible for me to get away. I've got to share the gospel with them. I've got to. And I said, put me in those situations. And he did it. He did it again this week. Amen. I think I'm going to pray again next week, too, Kenny. So I can get that thing. And see what God's going to do. Amen. Don't forget, pray for Carlene. Pray for the Reyes as well. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to get dismissed. Don't forget, don't call because she doesn't have her phone or text her, but do contact the Taylors if you do. Pastor White, give us an